do a silent roll call, looks like everyone is here. Pledge of Allegiance, did I see Greg Crossman? Yes, I did. Would you please lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance, the chairman of our water company?
Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible.
The other aspects that we have here. On the consent agenda, item number one, approval of the October 1st, 2015 meeting minutes for the executive session. Item two, approval of the October 6th, 2015 regular town council meeting minutes. Item number three, acceptance into the public record of the October 2015 paid bills. Item number four, acceptance of the cash receipts and disbursements report for September 2015. Those are the four items on the consent agenda. Are there any questions, comments?
Item three, Mayor.
Item three. Okay. Anyone else have any questions and comments? If not, I would entertain a motion to approve items one, two, and four. Is there a motion?
So moved.
Motion has been made and seconded. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Items one, two, and four. Councilman Farrar, what are your questions on the October paid bills?
Just a few. I noticed the splash pad, Adirondack chairs. How many chairs did we get for that 1,800, Gary? And where exactly are they going?
Mayor, members of the council, those chairs will be going on or near the turf area that was donated to the town. That is adjacent to the splash pad, and there will be four chairs on that turf.
Okay. Good. Again, what is our? Do we have a current total on the splash pad expense, and what the current total is on the donations?
I can answer that, Gary.
Okay.
The donations are $135K. We have spent the actual splash pad itself was around $131.
Mm-hmm.
And the town has expended around $20K. That's for retaining walls, electric, the chairs. And also the concrete ceiling that was just done of all that area was donated, again, by Ecoflex.
Fantastic.
As well as, if I can add to that, the landscaping by
Desert
Foothills Landscape and Southwest Greens donated.
Certainly those donations need to be recognized. Is there any conversation underway right now to recognize those vendors that have participated?
Yes, we're kicking around ideas how to do that.
I'd be interested to know what that would look like. Also, too, I would like to see, I think we're talking about putting a sign on the Ramada. But I would love to see a podium sign as people walk through the garden talking about when the splash pad is going to open, maybe an acknowledgement to Kiwanis and the other vendors on that little podium sign. Gary, I think I showed you a picture of that. I'll send you that forthwith. But certainly to be able to promote that splash pad, outstanding public benefit to our community. I'll certainly bring my granddaughter to that. But it would be wonderful to promote that throughout the season in anticipation of the summer.
And you realize that there will be a large Kiwanis sign on the outside of the Ramada.
Oh,
that faces,
I did not know that.
It faces that. It's not easy street, but it's great raised parking lot area there as you drive through around there.
Can the other members of the council be somewhat updated on what this is going to look like when it's finished, the Kiwanis sign and the other signs?
It looks very much like the banner that is up there currently. It will be in blue.
Okay.
Their Kiwanis blue.
Do we have any renderings, Councilwoman Price?
The best way is to drive by and see how it looks right now.
I have driven by and looked at it. I just wondered if there's anything else that we can do to promote that.
Promote it? No, at this point. I don't have any concept or any picture from.
Okay, I think I can speak for myself, and I'm certain possibly other members of the council would just like to know where that's going. So if the other members of the council can be informed by the splash pad committee where we're going, the chair, so these aren't surprises as we see them. It would be nice to know what you're thinking and what you have to date in terms of how that's going to look. I think that's fair. The other item I had was the design layout for 33 Easy, 1920. Can you talk, Gary, about what that expense is for?
Yes, indeed. As per our lease with Mr. Ed Lewis, he was making tenant improvements at his cost. What I wanted to evaluate is the future use of the town council chambers and the respective layout so that any installation of lights, the installation of or changes to any mechanical equipment would be fitted into what we believe would be a proper use of that building for our council chambers. Mm-hmm. So it's everything's coordinated. So I retained the local architect, Michael Euler, mm-hmm. To do a quick schematic of a layout so I could share that with Ed Lewis so that it could be a coordinated effort with his tenant improvements. Once again, he's doing at his cost.
That's okay. Thank you. Two more items. One is on the last page, I see the Far Whisker wine event for $456. What was that expense for?
These are all reimbursed costs. What typically happens with these special events, in some instances, Manny Gonzalez, who does contractual work for the town and oversees our restroom maintenance during these special events, covers the special events, stocks the restrooms, resupplies the restrooms, manages the asset for both the special event and the town of Carefree, and those fees are reimbursed. So this is the fee that we put out, and that is reimbursed by the nonprofit.
Okay, so we receive that expense through the vendor or the person that made the application for the event. Okay, thank you. And the other final item is, while the cushions look great in Councilman Gearhart's home, I noticed we've lost, approximately four cushions at our fireplaces.
I believe there have been three that have been unfortunately taken. Those cushions have been secured this week, actually as of yesterday, and so they are strapped into the chairs now.
Yeah, perfect. Thank you.
I'll bring them back.
Okay, thank you, Councilman Farrar. Any further questions?
No, thank you, Mayor.
If not, I'll entertain a motion to approve item number 3 off the consent agenda.
So moved.
So moved. Is there a second? And seconded. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Nay. Okay. Let us take one call to the public, and then I'll come back for the rest of those. But I would like to have Captain Rustenberg please tell us about some new developments.
Oh, here you go. It's off. It's on.
Good evening, Mayor. Okay. Thank you. Mayor, Vice Mayor, Council Members, and Committee, or Community. Kip Rustenberg, Captain with Maricopa County Sheriff's Office. I just wanted to make an announcement. The Sheriff's Office is happy to have a brand new helicopter. It's a Bell, hang on, I don't know much about helicopters, but it's a Bell Ranger 407, which is a very nice helicopter. It's named Fox 2, and we'd like to extend to the city and to the council, if you'd like to have it to respond out prior to one of the council meetings for you guys to look at it, have it open to any of the community members, give me a date and a time, and I'll coordinate with our aviation department to have it respond. And it'd be kind of something cool for the community to see and share the services that we offer to the community.
Where would it be located at?
Well, we'd have to find a safe landing space. I believe there's an empty field pretty close right out here that it would be safe. There's no lines to my knowledge, so it would be somewhat close if you want to do it prior to one of the upcoming meetings.
Where will it be permanently located?
Oh, it's stationed at our aviation department, which is down off of 19th Ave and around Deer Valley by the Deer Valley Airport by the CIP.
Great.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you for that kind offer.
We'll take you up on it. Awesome. Thanks.
Thank you. And thank you for the excellent work which you do for the town. I'd like to take item number 8 next. which is the Eastwood proposal. Review, discussion, and possible action to approve a single-family residential subdivision. I believe we have received a request for continuance of this item to the December 1st council meeting. Is that correct?
That is correct, Mayor, members of the council. We have received a continuance. There's three cases in front of you. One, a minor general plan amendment. Another one, a rezoning to RUPD. And the third one, all associated ones, again, is a preliminary plat. The request is to continue these respective cases so the applicant can work with the nearby Sky Ranch associations and address their thoughts. So that it would be continued to a date certain, which would be our first regular council meeting in December, December 1st.
Thank you. Will we need a motion to do so?
Motion to continue.
Is there a motion to continue to the 12-1?
I make the motion.
Motion has been made.
Second.
And seconded. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay, thank you. I'd like to take item number 9 next, which is review, discussion, and possible action to approve a collaborative agreement by the Arizona Corporation Commission, Liberty Utilities, the Boulders Resort, the Boulders Homeowners Association, and the Town of Carefree. The agreement of all the parties makes changes to the Liberty Wastewater Collection and Treatment System, which will enable the system to operate effectively and efficiently over the long term. This agreement is subject to final approval from the Corporation Commission and the withdrawal of an existing appeal by the owners of the Boulders Resort versus the Arizona Corporation Commission, which is currently before the Arizona Court of Appeals. Before we start, I'd like to introduce some notable people in our audience. And certainly Scott Wakefield, the attorney for the town in this matter, has worked closely with the members of the committee, which we have two individuals in the back, Mr. Tony Geiger, if you'd raise your hand, please, who's been very instrumental, and Mr. David Oschel, also, who practiced before the Oklahoma Corporation Commission, was instrumental. John, myself, we'll get into the people that are here. I would also like to ask Matt Garlick. Matt, if you'd raise your hand, and if you, the Matt is the president of the Arizona Division of Liberty Black Mountain Sewer, to introduce your two notable compatriots with you as well.
Thank you, Mayor. This is Todd Wiley, the General Counsel of Utilities and Attorney.
Okay, thank you. Gary, if I might ask you, let me talk a bit about this. If you might put this up on the board, and let me go through a limited history of this. We could be here for the next 2 days discussing this. So there are two things that are happening. One is a request for the decommissioning and removal of a wastewater treatment plant, which is in this system, and the other is the initiation of a rate case, and those two will dovetail. We're here to talk the first subject, really, and that gets put together into a settlement agreement. And let me give, hopefully people can read that. It's of sufficient resolution that you can. What the committee is really here to request is a resolution to authorize myself, the mayor, to sign a collaborative settlement agreement in developing development pertaining to the decommissioning of the wastewater treatment plant in the North Boulders and matters that are related to that. Let me talk about this. This is an agreement between Liberty Utilities, CP Boulders, which is comprised of the Boulders Resort, the current owners, as well as Wind P1 Mortgage Borrower, which is the previous owner, Division of Blackstone Corporation, the Boulders Homeowners Association, which is located within Carefree, and the Town of Carefree. This has been a multi-party, multi-attorney, writing fest, a discussion fest for some time now, but I believe we, as of a moment or two ago, are there. The negotiating group on behalf of the Carefree ratepayers, because we'll get into, while the town is a party, the town represents all of the ratepayers in the town. both residential, commercial, and you'll see that we also will make note that we have a light industrial for potential future users as well. John Crane, Gary Neese has certainly been on this committee, Tony Geiger I mentioned, David Oshel, Phil Clement, and myself. The second page. With approval by Carefree, all of the others have approved. And we have a document which collectively, and no one is jumping up and down about and saying, wow, am I the huge winner? This is one that we all come together and say, this is the collective good of the system and the residents of Carefree. The settlement agreement, when signed, will be presented to the corporation for their acceptance. This has to go before them because it's an existing order from the commission, which is, in my terminology, unfulfilled at this point. The Arizona Court of Appeals will be requested to stay all proceedings in the appeal pending before it between the corporation commission and the owners of the boulders related to this plant. Certainly, Liberty Black Mountain has been a party to this also. The Boulders Homeowners has been a party to this. This has been a court case which has swung on multiple actions since, I want to say, 2009. It has been to the appellate court, the superior court, the Supreme Court, and back to the superior court, to the appellate court, where it currently resides. So, we're requesting as a part of this a stay of all proceedings, and that's a part of the agreement. You'll see certain negotiated costs related to this matter will be incorporated into the upcoming rate case, which is commencing literally as we're speaking. Right? And we have a note there. The town of Carefree has no direct financial liability in this matter. There's not $1 of town funds which are at stake here. And I should say that the town offices are on a septic system. They're not even part of the Liberty system. The town and this committee represent the interests of all of the classifications of Carefree ratepayers on the Liberty Utility Black Mountain system. After long and sometimes arduous negotiations, there really are two options open to us now. And let me talk these. We'll talk them in generalities. As I say, we could be here forever, but what is available to us now is to sign the settlement agreement or don't sign it. Let's talk some of the pros and the cons and what happens if we don't sign it. Pertinent points related to our decision. What happens with the utility? And I certainly am not the expert in this area because we have those who spend their lives dealing. A utility charges a rate. It accrues costs which are not covered within that rate. And at the next rate case, it brings them before the Corporation Commission, those that are regulated by the Corporation Commission, and it presents them for acceptance. Those that are accepted, in my terminology, become qualified expenses, and they are then built into the rates for all of the users of the system. And there's an allocation system between the various users. Then incremental costs there are identified, accrued, taken to the next rate case, where then the system happens over and over again. At this point in time, the initiation of the rate case, which was in June of this year, Liberty Utilities had $1,133,000 in accumulated expenses for which they would seek compensation. The committee challenged a number of these. Let us talk about some of these. And we spoke before the rate case started before the commission and said, we will challenge these. We filed as an intervener, which means we sit at the table along with all of the others that are discussing this. And there were two in particular that we talked about. One was what is called the Marshall Settlement. Gary, if I might ask you to put that, this is my well-traveled map showing where the plant is in relation to the boulders. This is the North Boulders, and in the center of that, the black area, is the location of the wastewater treatment plant that we're discussing. This is the only plant in Carefree. It processes 15% to 20% of the wastewater here. If you go immediately to the left of where it is, 85 feet away, was a home which was owned by a couple whose name was Marshall. and they moved in, the plant was there. The plant operates within all guidelines. However, any plant has odors and noises and those kinds of things associated with it. Even though, to use Jay's term, in full compliance with all applicable rules and regulations. Nevertheless, the marshals filed suit. Now, it's a difficult position for the utility to be in because they're facing a suit from an individual, and they're prohibited from closing the plant by a court action from the Boulders Resort against them, which stayed any kind of closure on the plant. So now a utility is a cost-plus kind of an operation. They take their costs, they mark them up, they become qualified, approved, et cetera. So part of this $1,133,000 was $287,000 in legal fees and a settlement to the marshal for a diminishing of the value of their home. The second aspect of it was $216,000 in legal fees from Liberty Utilities pertaining directly to the Boulders Resort's court actions challenging the corporation's commission's closure decision. Now, one could argue that the Boulders Resort, in challenging the corporation commission, do they have the authority? What is the constitutional basis of contracts in the U.S.? You name it. It was a delaying action because they wanted to get the water from this plant. Liberty, to their credit, stepped in and filed briefs in addition to those that were filed by the Corporation Commission. The legal fees that they generated supporting the Corporation Commission trying to get this plant closed, and we'll get into a bit why that is, amounted to $216,000. So we said, look, these two items, being almost $500,000, $287,000 and $216,000, shouldn't be borne by each of the individual households within Carefree on a proportionate basis. So we said, we are going to challenge these before the commission. We'll talk about this in a little bit. The other thing, that plant processes 120,000 gallons per day. And what the proposition that we have been working for is to close this plant, repipe it, and have it go directly down into the Scottsdale system as 85% of it does right now. It would go off roughly up by Spanish Village, out by Scottsdale or Tom Darlington, and go down to the Scottsdale main just to the south of El Pedregal. Scottsdale Water Resources, which is the utility which owns the water company and the sewer utility within Scottsdale, has a brand new plant, processing plant, down by Greyhawk, Pima, and just north of Frank Lloyd Wright. They offered to process additional quantities, those who were processed by this Carefree plant, at a rate of $10 per gallon. So what that amounts to is the utility buys processing capacity from someone who has excess capacity. Fair market rates out there right now are somewhere in the $28 to $32 per gallon per day. Scottsdale offered it, bless those people, at their cost rate of $10 per gallon. Jay is snickering because he's been handling the negotiation, which is a considerable savings versus fair market rates. And at $10 per gallon, 120,000 gallons per day, that would be $1.2 million, which would go into the cost, which would come to system users. Whereas at $30 per gallon, that would be $3.6 million. That's a huge amount to put on 1,900 users of a system, plus 130 commercial customers. The third talking point, and one of the things that knocked me off my chair, because this has been an ongoing close the plant for a number of reasons. There are odors related to the boulders, and sometimes even further than that, there are noises. But Liberty brought up that they communicated that they'll close this plant, which is 45 to 50 years old. And think about any manufacturing facility being 45 to 50 years old, that in the near future, their plans would call for them closing it anyway. perhaps in the next 5 years, perhaps it's 10 years, perhaps it's 1 year. I mean, think of a washing machine or a refrigerator that now starts, it's 20 years old, and starts to wear out, and do I replace this part or do I buy a new one? Well, now we were starting to be faced with this plant is going out sometime very soon, and it's going to become increasingly costly on an annual basis to keep it in good repair. So we said at the beginning, Jim, if I might ask you to go on to the... you're already there. The committee, to a person, believes that we should sign the agreement now, and let us talk about some of the things that support why we should do that. Closing the wastewater treatment plant, in reality, would close it 3 years from now, in November of 2018. What would happen in those 3 years, it gives all of the parties time to plan and to implement. There are further engineering studies, there's trenching down Tom Darlington, Scottsdale Road, et cetera, those kinds of things. And then you have to get into the kinds of things that the boulders resort, because this is the last 15% of the water for their golf courses. They are undertaking a major undertaking, which in reality is putting in a new in-ground water sensing system, irrigation system, within their two golf courses. So they would shut this one down, and then when that's done and replenished, then they would shut the other one down, et cetera. So a three-year lead time on something like this is necessary. It provides a long-term solution. This plant processes 15%, 15 to 20%, depending upon the time of the year, of the wastewater in Carefree. By eliminating that plant, by making the pipes large enough, the lines large enough to go directly into the Scottsdale system, we basically are eliminating most of the moving parts within our system. There are significant cost savings on doing it now versus 5 years, 7 years, 10 years, 1 year, whenever it is in the future, if we pass this opportunity. The first one is reductions in the accumulated expenses. Recall the $1,133,000 that I mentioned. Liberty has agreed that they would reduce from the Marshall settlement, which was $287,000, they would absorb $200,000 of those costs. The Boulders Resort, of the $216,000 in legal fees incurred by Liberty, and recognize that Liberty takes on these. Anytime it repairs something, has legal expenses, they will be translated back to the users of the system. The Boulders Resort would absorb and pay for one half of those, $108,000. So out of the roughly $500,000 in what we consider to be perhaps not qualified expenses, $300,000 of them would be handled by Liberty and by the Boulders Resort. Now, it's arguable, we would go before the commission, we would make the case. Frankly, I don't think we would get much more than that from the commission in terms of agreement that that's not a qualified expense. And I've listened to a lot of these kinds of things. The next point, $2,400,000 processing capacity from Scottsdale Water Resources. If we buy the capacity now, it's $10 per gallon, it's $1,000,002. If we buy it anytime after we say, we're not going to do it immediately, it goes to fair market rates, and at $30 per gallon, that's $3,600,000. So there's $2,400,000 on the delta there. Excavating and line costs are cheaper now than they would be later. If we went in 3 years, 5 years, 7 years, we're ballparking, it might be $500,000 more to do it then. And that the operational cost of the wastewater treatment plant in these out years, as it gets closer to being sacked, are going to be more expensive also. So the options are close it now or close it in the relatively near future. So the summary point there is financial participation from others, Liberty, from the Boulders Resort, from Scottsdale Water Resources, those kind of discounts or participation won't be available to us if we don't act now. It avoids substantial future legal costs. I mean, one of the things here, if we don't sign it, We're still in the appeals because the settlement agreement terminates that. With acceptance by the Corporation Commission, then we don't go into the Court of Appeals. And as Mr. Wakefield says to us, even though our cause is just and we think we're going to win, only God knows, once you go into court, what they're going to do coming out the other side. So these would be substantial future legal costs for the town of Carefree, which are out of our tax revenues, and for Liberty Utilities, which de facto then come back to the ratepayers. So we have been working diligently on this for some time. I would ask if Mr. Wakefield or if the Liberty people would like to say anything, any of the members of the committee. I believe it's in the best interest of all of the ratepayers to move ahead on this agreement now. It's not the ideal, but it's the best of the available alternatives, and they go downhill. The other alternatives go downhill real fast. Scott, any?
Hi, Scott Wakefield with Ridenour Huntington. You'll recall I met you in executive session about a month ago when we talked about the basic framework for this settlement. And we are still largely consistent with that framework, little tweaks here and there, but nothing that's really significantly different from the town's perspective. And as Mayor Peterson said, there aren't really any great resolutions of the issue of that sewer plant sitting in the middle of your community. But we think this settlement agreement is definitely the best option to get that closed expeditiously. I'd also add to Mayor Peterson's summary of the basic framework here. One of the things that we had talked about was that the town would seek an additional tariff from the utility in the pending rate case to allow some economic development sort of concept. I understand that there's been some interest from some breweries or distilleries for locating here, and the existing framework and even the proposed framework for commercial rate wouldn't be very favorable to that, but the company has agreed that they would propose a tariff that would be more workable for that kind of an industry. In addition, in the company's rate case, they have proposed an alternative rate structure for the commercial customers. You're probably aware there's been some dislike by commercial customers, particularly restaurants, of how their commercial rate was structured. And the company in the rate case has proposed a favorable solution. And so this would have us on the same page with them in continuing to advocate that the commission, in fact, adopt that solution. So there are a lot of details here. I can answer questions if you need to, but as you're basically familiar, this has a very long history and it's very complex, but we think we've got a great solution to put this to bed.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Scott, I have a question.
Yes.
On the budget at $500,000, or your ballpark figure, I'm assuming it came from your company, that's to run the new forced main down Scottsdale Road, Tom Darlington into Scottsdale.
Excuse me, that was if we delayed 5 years more, it would be $500,000 more than what it will cost now. Best ballpark guess.
Okay.
Okay.
You answered my question.
All right. Thank you. Thanks.
One of the things, think of it as a forensic audit which goes on by the Corporation Commission. When a utility basically goes in and requests rates, they take it apart down to the last dime on depreciation, on you name it. So we have two elements that work in our behalf. I mean, we could estimate $2.6 million or $3.6 million to do this line. It will come out in the numbers, and the Corporation Commission and RUCO are all over these guys in terms of here's what's customary, what about this, what about that. I mean, this is a one-year process with hearings, with justifications, with financial wizards going through these kinds of things. So this is intensive, and it's there to support people. Matt, anything you would like to say?
Mayor and Council, my name is Matthew Garlick. I'm the president of Liberty Utilities Arizona, Texas. And Mayor, I think you did a really great job at summary on the board of the situation that we're in. This has been going on for a while, a lot longer than I've been involved, maybe not as long as Jay and collectively yourself and everybody else up here as a town, but it really is a good opportunity for us to kind of come to some resolution to get our plant to where it needs to be as the commission and council and everybody at the time. That's the direction you want to go. We understand it's where you want to go today. It gives us a real clear path and resolute point to get to. I can answer any of your questions you may have, although I may not know the answer. I do have two fine gentlemen in the back who've been associated with this for a lot longer than I have, and I would love to answer those questions if you have any for me.
If you could just, I want to just get a really simple understanding of what the impetus was for this legal fight with closing down the plant.
Well, and that would be great. So which one of my attorneys would like to give a short version of that? You asked for it.
and why there was so much resistance to do that. My understanding, it was the homeowners that were complaining because of the odor.
Yes, I'm sorry, Mayor and Councilman. Are you talking about the litigation that has led to this whole end result of the specific litigation involving the resort?
That led to this whole where we are today.
You know, it really.
And if the resort is part of that.
Sure, I understand, Councilman. In 2004, the town and the Homeowners Association got involved in a Black Mountain, then Boulder's Carefree rate case. And that's really where it started. They began to raise concerns about facilities that were getting to be antiquated and there were odors. So we addressed a bunch of issues in that case, recommended in fact by your town administrator at the town, or manager, I'm not sure what his title was, a gentleman named Stan Frankham. We did a bunch of repairs. Everybody was very happy with those repairs. Odors went away where the repairs were done. But there were still odors. People were complaining about coming from the plant, which, as you know, is on the golf course. So we went back to the drawing board. Mr. Peterson, Mr. Sorensen, who was the then president, and I, Mr. Wakefield, we sat down in 2009 and really started to build the path that we're on today, the path to removing the plant from the neighborhood. So that's really kind of where it started, is in the 2009 filing of a rate case. Mr. Wakefield, Mr. Peterson, Mr. Sorensen, and I began this process. We got an agreement. The agreement was blessed by the commissioner, for lack of a better word, but the resort wasn't happy. They weren't ready to get off of effluent. So they started to fight. Ultimately, the homeless...
They were using the effluent to, I guess, feed the golf course. Is that correct?
The effluent from the plant provides about 15% of their annual water needs. According to the resort, though, it's very important at the time that they overseed twice a year. That extra amount of water is difficult to replace, and that was one of the big issues for them. So the resort, then owned by a different company, chose what I've said all along, is that it was cheaper to pay their lawyers than it was to go find the water, and they initiated litigation. Scott went to the commission and asked for an order saying close the plant company, and the commission agreed. At that time, we think that released us from our obligation to the resort. But the resort continued to sue, and that's really what we've been involved in for the last couple of years. This rate case, which was brought in part because of the venue's cafe dispute, and hopefully they're happy with this rate design and everything's going well there, it kind of forced us to come in, though, bring this rate case and put these issues on the table and say we were on a path to closure, but there were a bunch of speed bumps on that path. And we'd much rather have a path that everybody can agree to and gets rid of the speed bumps. That's what this rate case presented an opportunity to do. So we sat down again, Mr. Wakefield, Mr. Peterson, Mr. Garlick, Mr. Wiley, me, the people from the resort this time. And we worked something out that everybody isn't entirely happy with and everybody isn't unhappy with. And that's this settlement agreement. And it ends the litigation that has been over the closure of the plant. It gives a concrete path that people can go to the commission and say, we think this is how to get the plant closed and the company reimbursed and the resorts litigation ended, and everybody hopefully somewhere December 1 of 2018 celebrating that we turned off that plant and the town has what it's asked for. So it's been a long road. It's been a very long path. It's been a bumpy path. But what's before you is finally a path to closure that is free of those speed bumps, if the commission agrees. But before the commission can be asked to agree, all of us need to, and that's what's before you today.
The Boulders, this community is bifurcated. Half of it effectively is in Scottsdale, correct, and the other half is in Carefree.
I don't know if I would say half.
55-60% in Scottsdale, the balance in Carefree.
Right.
So this tactic of continuing by the previous owners of the Boulders Resorts, continuing to just pay attorney's fees, and obviously you're defending that, or the Liberty Sewer is having to pay their attorney's fees over this many protracted period, almost 10 years, back in 04, is that what?
The lawsuits by the resort started in about 2013. Because after the 2010 commission decision blessing the then proposed closure plan, we went out to the resort and tried to work something out with them. It wasn't able to be done. Then the commission ordered the closure. When the commission ordered the company to close the plant, the resort went to the courts. So we've been in the courts since 2013 in the various litigations that the mayor kind of represented through all three different levels of court in Arizona. They felt that they were unfairly being treated, and they argued that, and they're still arguing at the Court of Appeals. But again, in fairness to the resort, they're stepping up too and saying enough is enough, let's get back to doing business, which is what everybody really wants. So they're on board with this, and they're willing to end their use of litigation. Whether that's an ownership change or just change business mind, I can't say. I don't think the resort has a representative here tonight, but they've been very much a part of the effort in this rate case to make this, to give us a new path to closure.
Well, yeah, there is new ownership at the resort, I don't know, 8, 10 months ago. But so the Boulders Resort funded that, those legal fees themselves. However, and help me here, how did Liberty gets reimbursed through the ratepayers for their expenses on this legal battle that's been going on?
Mayor, Councilman, the way any expense incurred by a utility works is that it goes in a rate case and argues that expense is reasonable and prudent and should be recovered through the rates that are paid. Liberty has asserted in the rate case that's pending that all of these costs are related to and required by to comply with the order to close the plant and the agreement with the homeowner association to close the plant. So we've asserted to the commission that these were legitimate, reasonable, and prudent closure costs. If the commission were to agree, they would become part of the determination of the rate paid. That will happen under the settlement agreement to a lesser degree.
Okay, and I believe, Mr. Wakefield, at one time you represented the HOA at the Boulders, is that correct?
That is correct, Councilman Farrar. In the 2009 rate case, the town did not intervene. I represented the Homeowners Association in the negotiation, what was it, initially the negotiation of a settlement agreement with the utility, which we brought to the commission, and as Mr. Shapiro said, was essentially blessed by the commission. And then when that did not result in an actual closure of the plant, I represented the Homeowners Association again in coming back to the commission and seeking the closure order, which is the order that is now under appeal in the courts. I do continue to represent the Homeowners Association in that appeal while it's pending, but it will go away with the adoption of this settlement agreement. But in negotiating this agreement, I have represented both the Homeowners Association and the town with disclosure of that matter to both clients.
Councilman Farrar, if I could inject a little bit also on my own supposition on what has driven this. Liberty Utilities, in the course of a year, has annual expenses of something in the range of $2 million to $2.3 million, which they then rebuild. The biggest moving part is this plant. There are a couple lift stations, but it's basically this plant. My guess, simply a guess, costs $600,000, $700,000. You pick a number to operate this plant, because they've had to do a lot of things to keep operating as well as they can. None of us, and we were together when we kind of looked at it, because this goes back 40 years, 45 years, to the original owners of the boulders. They established the rate structure, and none of us had looked, but there's charges to rate payers, but the sale of the byproduct, the effluent that came out of this plant.
To the Boulders Resort.
Pardon me?
To the Boulders Resort.
Went to the Boulders Resort. So if it cost, and let me pick a number, and let me hypothesize that it's close to reasonable, $600,000, the cost of that effluent going to the resort was $21,000 a year. That's what drove a lot of our sewer expenses here. So they can pay a lot of legal fees on that spread.
So we were subsidizing the resort. Is that what you're, our rate payers?
Okay. That's correct. And the new owners have now come and said, look, we want to be community players. They were on our side. They thought Liberty at first in the initial proceedings would have to pay for it. So they were testifying along with the town and the homeowners, those guys should close this plant until they figured out, wait a minute, that's where we get our water. So that's what drove a lot of this. They didn't have a ready alternative to go to for water. Now, the best alternative, best long-term alternative, is to put in-ground sensors into the golf courses and the water this area different from that area. They had long expanses on a single water it, and you'd have mud in some areas and that would be dry in others. So now they're making the investment to go in, and they can have savings of 15 to 20% on water, which alleviates the need for this plant. But it requires a multi-million dollar investment from the new owners into their golf courses to do this. That's why, you know, these are kind of things that are coming together, and this is the time, I think, this plant should never have been built where it was built. It's an accident of geography. These go back before real estate laws, which on disclosure, these houses were sold. There are 200 to 300 within 1,000 feet of it, which is in the odor zone of the best performing new plant, etc. So this is not something which we could live with as a town long term.
Just, Mayor, just one final question. I see the reductions in accumulated expenses of over $300,000. What is the total, again, of the accumulated expenses?
$1,133,000.
That would be recouped through?
Through the next rate case, which was initiated in June, should take round numbers a little over a year.
Okay.
And some of those expenses are engineering studies for getting rid of the plant, where are we going to site the lines, what are the alternatives, et cetera, those kinds of things.
Thank you, Mayor.
Any further questions, comments?
Just a couple of comments. One, I think it's important that everyone understands all this litigation that was going on. The town wasn't litigating anybody. So tax dollars weren't being spent there. This is between the resort, between the Homeowners Association, between Liberty, between the ACC. So the town was just like a bystander watching. And we only got involved recently, and it's not involved in litigation, but actively involved once it became, as it moved forward to a rate case. So we took stock of the situation and we looked at those expenses, which Liberty would claim, and we decided some of these may be disputable. Maybe we have a stake in this in the interest of the ratepayers. We can mitigate some of these expenses. And we have four different parties here who kind of made concessions, and we arrived at what I think is for today, a good solution.
Excellent summary, John. Thank you for this. Mm-hmm. That was the distinction I was trying to make with you, Mr. Wakefield, that the town was not, or you were being, I guess, paid and representing the HOA of the Boulders, that community.
I've only represented the town since the rate case was filed in June, and you retained me.
And that is only in the capacity as an intervener.
Yeah.
So he's not standing before a judge arguing anything. He's just minding the interests of the of our citizens as this rate case proceeds.
Citizens and commercial interests.
Oh, yes.
Yes, sir.
Mayor, Vice Mayor, and Council, a little bit of a clarification. When the lawsuit was filed, the town was named as a defendant in the lawsuit. We were listed as a defendant as a nominal party to the proceedings. We have a written agreement that we could stand on the sidelines and watch the parties duke it out. So yes, the town wasn't really involved per se in the actual fighting, but the town was named as a defendant in the lawsuit and is still named as a defendant in the lawsuit. It is on appeal at the Court of Appeals. And I think in a little bit, the mayor or perhaps Mr. Wakefield is going to explain the urgency in getting this agreement signed or approved tonight.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Wakefield, if you might come up and perhaps I can start it. We're requesting approval. Literally, when Scott walked in, we said, okay, we're down to the last negotiation on this. And we either a week from today have to file written testimony before the appellate court.
Let me correct you there. It's in the rate case, the town's testimony regarding its position needs to be filed at the Corporation Commission next Wednesday, a week from tomorrow. By having this matter settled before then, that testimony looks very different than if we were having to put forward testimony that is adversarial. And so we by resolving the matter now, before that testimony deadline, the testimony that we file is in support of the settlement rather than adversarial, as we continue to argue what amounts should be recovered here and there, and at best get a resolution that doesn't result in the plant being closed, because that's a matter that's in front of the Court of Appeals, a different forum. And there's nothing more the commission can do at this point to make that happen other than continue to litigate the resort's litigation, which will, as the mayor said, there's really two things going on here. There's the rate case, and there's the litigation from the commission's 2013 order of closure. This settlement resolves both of those issues. In addition, the oral argument in the Court of Appeals is scheduled on December 8th, and this will stay that proceeding so that we don't need to continue to litigate that matter while we're awaiting the commission's adjudication of the rate case and hopeful approval of our settlement agreement.
Thank you.
Sure.
So as I mentioned, all of the other signatories of this agreement have agreed to what the final, you gentlemen have had all the discussions with them. We're the final remaining one. And let me ask Mr. Wright, since we don't, you know, we have all the memorandums of understanding, we have the drafts, counter drafts. You can imagine eight attorneys inputting a document, what we have. So it is to put it together very, very quickly. What would we do to approve moving forward on this?
Thank you, Mayor, and council members. The town, of course, has a vested interest in getting this resolved as quickly as possible. As you heard from Mr. Wakefield, if this isn't resolved pretty much immediately, the town's going to incur legal fees and continue to incur costs. In that connection, even though the settlement agreement is just at the 11th hour, pretty much been finalized, what I would propose is a resolution authorizing the mayor to execute the settlement agreement that is going to be finalized in the next few days, and give him authority tonight to sign that agreement. And to the extent that the agreement is perhaps better than the one that is currently there, he would have authority to sign that one. And I specifically would invoke the emergency provisions of ARS 38431.02J, which basically allows the council to discuss, consider, and decide a matter on an emergency basis to avoid litigation expenses. And that's where we are tonight. And so my recommendation and legal advice is the town should entertain a resolution authorizing the mayor to execute the settlement agreement. Any questions?
Is there a motion to that effect?
So moved.
Second. Motion has been made and seconded. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Thank you. Thank you, gentlemen. We will do that. It's been a long road.
What is everybody saying, though? Is everybody working on your signatures to this agreement, all parties?
So the Boulder's homeowners had to do a resolution, and the president of, Thursday. As soon as we get copies, I'll put one on everybody's box.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks, guys.
And I'll finish this.
Okay. Oh, Jesus. You're not asleep, are you?
I don't wonder. I knew she was at the floor.
Thank you.
Thank you, Crimson.
I know that feeling. Remember?
Okay, we have discussed item number 8, Eastwood. We have discussed item number 9, the Corporation Commission.
So that's table, right?
Right. From A continued to the next.
My question is, there's so much documentation and hard work that you and Stacy put into this, should we hang on to this?
Yes. Or turn it back in.
Or turn it back in.
You can do either. Either I will take them and give them back to you with any additions in December, or you can hold on to them.
Okay.
And I'll give you these.
Just to save work and expense.
Yes,
good.
Please.
Thank you. Perhaps the next thing, since we have Crimson on the phone as well, is to go to item number 7, review, discussion, and possible action regarding the 2014-2015 fiscal year Town of Carefree audit, expenditure limitation report, and financial reviews, including the June, July, and August 2015 cash receipts and disbursements reports restated with the auditor's changes. Mr. Neese and Mr. King.
Thank you, Mayor. That's a mouthful.
Thank you, Tony.
Good job, Mayor.
Tonight, you reviewed the audit of the water company. Crimson Singleton, who's from Hinton Burdick, is on the line again to address any questions that you might have. Working in association with the audit on an annual basis is Jim Keene, our town accountant to the left, who does an excellent job. And once again, we got the highest marks with our audit, so Mr. Keene should be congratulated for his hard work. Before I turn it over to Jim, just to make a few remarks, I think it's always compelling to look at one of these tables within the body of this audit, and that's table number 6.
This is table number 6. It talks about revenues and expenses, the net of the respective revenues and expenses, and our fund balance. But I'd like to show it to you in a pretty picture, because I think, obviously, the old expression, pictures say a thousand words. This green line shows our overall town reserves. As you can see, over that 10-year window, we went from a minimum of $5 million upwards to approximately $7 million today. This is in the midst of what we all know as the global meltdown. Put $2 million in the bank during that 10-year window, even during that global meltdown. We have put significant funds in the bank. Are we spending money until it's all gone? No. This, once again, is validation
that there's money in the bank, and we are a very conservative community. At the same time, if you cross-pollinate our reserves with our expenditures, what do we spend money on? Over $10 million have been invested in the community. $10 million. What has it been spent on? It's been spent on fire infrastructure. We didn't have a master fire contract before. We invested in the hardware, the infrastructure. We bought land, put in a fire station, purchased a fire truck, and equipped everything within that firehouse and on that fire truck. We also invested in our water infrastructure. We increased the capacity of the system, and we put in hundreds of fire hydrants throughout the community. We also have an emergency supply, a three-day emergency supply, and we connect them both to the Cave Creek system and the Scottsdale system. We have a assured water supply. We have strategically invested in our water infrastructure. We've also strategically invested in our streets. We use the best practices, maintenance practices of our street. Every community does this. We were one of the first in the metropolitan area, and we're extending the life of our payments, and we continue to do that, continue to make that investment. We started a preserve, a community our size of approximately 3,600 people, started a open space preserve. We acquired 60 acres and spent less than $300,000 on that 60 acres. There are some beautiful petroglyphs, amazing petroglyphs in this land. It's some amazing desert landscape that we have preserved for future generations. And we also invested in ourselves. We invested in office space, and more recently we invested in a permanent home to the town council chambers. Obviously the town's not going anywhere, and it's foolish from a business perspective to continue to lease. We invested in ourselves, and we own our own property now. We have strategically invested $10 million over that 10-year windows into this community. We're building community. That's what it's about. So this council, as well as previous councils, should be congratulated by what we have done and what we have achieved. We've invested in the community. We put $2 million in the bank, all in the middle of that economic recession. We continue to invest in ourselves, and we look at economic development, and it's repositioning ourselves so that we can ensure that that model is stabilized in the future, and we're not shooting from the hip. We have recently been awarded the Arizona Planning Association Award for our strategic revitalization plan. That award is to your left, to my right, and that was received last week at the state conference down in Tucson. That award does not go to everybody. We were up against Phoenix, we were up against Mesa, we were up against large and small communities. Carefree won. Carefree beat them out. We have a lot to be proud of. We do not shoot from the hip. We are recognized now by the Arizona Planning Association, and that gains notice. That gains notice from people in the private sector looking to invest in Carefree. So we have a lot to be proud of about. There's a lot of remarkable things happening in Carefree. Once again, bragging a little bit, but I'm really proud of what we've accomplished during that 10-year window, and you should be too. That being said, Jim, if you can make a couple remarks on the audit.
May I just jump in real quick, Mayor, if you don't mind? You know, Gary, I really appreciate what you said, and what I'm most proud of is that every investment is fought over and debated and earned. And, for example, the planning. I mean, that was something that really took energy and time and convincing to say, hey, let's bring in a planning group and look at, are we going in the right direction? So, yes, I applaud previous councils, and certainly I applaud this council, but that does not mean to say that we don't continue our capacity as stewards and really debate every expense that is incumbent or paid for by the town. And every investment we make, it goes through a vetting process, and that investment is earned. And that's what I'm most proud of, is that as a council, we're able to respect each other, and we're able to present our views. And there's no carte blanche. I think the most effective government is the ones where there is not carte blanche, where there is debate and there is different views. And so I'm very proud that we're able to do that as this council today, and I believe going forward.
I couldn't agree with you more.
James?
Okay. I sent a memo out showing the differences between June and what was changed by the audit. Essentially, there was a grant from the federal and state government about our monsoon repairs that I did not accrue back in that year. And the auditors had decided that it has to be accrued back into that year. So that is an auditor's adjusting entry. And so this memo explains what changed and where. So the county grant revenue, this changes about $401,405,000 that we're still yet to get from the federal and state government for those monsoon repairs. So when you look at what we had at June 30th, we were only putting $860,000 in the bank, and the reason it went up to $930,000 is because this is revenue that they accrued back in that year. Okay, so.
So we expended the dollar.
We expended the money, and we're still waiting the government to come back to us. $101,405, I think, is the.
Jim, you said $930,000 they put in the bank. Is it like $962,135?
Yeah, well, it's the difference between.
$860,000.
Yeah. Yeah, the previous June report had, I think it was like, well, it was $101,405 less. You know, so our revenue went up. That's what I'm trying to explain to you. And why it went up was because of this grant revenue that we're about to get from the feds. Okay. And if you look, the other part of this, I always provide you with a sheet that shows our departments on the right and where they put them in the audit on the left, just as a reference point where you see, you know, the report you look at every month has departments, and they have it classified by general government, et cetera. So you can look and see where those are compartmentalized. And then I also put a copy of the page in the audit that has our total revenues and total expenditures where you can compare it to that. I also restated, obviously, June, July, and August to reflect this $101,405. And so with the September report, all of that is, you know, in there. And going forward, I've taken all the accruals that you saw on the front page of the memo, $387,973 that were accrued back into that month. Those are now out of the financial statements. So that's something when we present the audit, we always make sure that the reversal of the accruals is done, where we don't think we have more money than we do. So that's an important thing for you to understand, that that has been done. Some towns in the area have forgotten to do that with a bad result. So I want you to know that, that has been done for us. Did anybody have any questions about the audit in general? It's a very clean audit, my 13th one. So it's been fun over three different auditing firms. Yeah, lucky 13.
Great job. Great job.
Thanks. Any questions?
Anything further from council members?
No.
Do we have a motion to accept?
I'll accept. I'll make the motion.
Yeah, you have Crimson on the phone?
Yeah. Anybody have any questions from her?
Sorry.
So Crimson, are you there?
Yeah, yeah. I just wanted to commend Jim and Candace and all the staff, also Megan and Greg over at the water company, and we also do a minimum accounting standards procedures, agreed upon procedures over at the court, and we work with Adrian over there, and so everyone does a great job, and as was mentioned, and for our, as far as the audit, we issued a clean opinion, so everything we found to be in good order.
So. Excellent. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Any further questions, comments? Okay. Thank you, Crimson. Thank you, Jim.
Thank you, Crimson.
James, great job.
Yes. Thank you. Motion to accept? Do we have a motion to accept?
Make the motion.
Second.
Motion has been made and seconded. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay. Excellent work. Call to the public. I think we have Mr. Robert Schenkel for agenda item number 8, which was Eastwood. Perhaps the gentleman and Linda Schenkel, who also wanted to speak on number 8, which was continued to the December 1st meeting, are not here at this point in time.
They're there.
Oh.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, you've elected not to speak this evening.
Correct.
Thank you. Okay. Item number 6, current events.
Well, tomorrow is Veterans Day, and at 3 o'clock in the Senator Lincoln Pavilion, we have a great program of music. Veterans will be there, a lot of veteran support groups. Our keynote speaker is Colonel Goble James. He was a 56-month POW in Vietnam at the Hanoi Hilton. So it's a great program. So if you have time tomorrow afternoon, 3 to 5, please come on out.
Thank you, John. Also, the donation of radios?
Yes, so the 100 Club of Arizona made a grant of $3,600 to the town, to the fire department, for wildfire radios. So that's a 501(c) that benefits safety service organizations throughout the state. And I have to, Chief Krantz isn't here, but my guess is Chief Krantz made an application for a grant. It was favorably received, and they gave us $3,600, so they will now be able to purchase a couple of radios.
Great. Thank you. I have two announcements. One, we've just come off of what I call the Pumpkin Festival, which was a resounding success for the town. We don't count because we don't have admissions, et cetera, but somewhere between 30,000 or more people came through over a two-week plus period. We were on a Monday night football. We had a 12-minute segment on NPR. We had all the major TV stations in Phoenix. We had front covers on most of the magazines. And it exhausted all of us, but it was wonderful. They're wonderful people to deal with. It was a lot of fun. It brought people, Jim and I would marvel together, all the families and kids, and they were loving it. And the people would look at these carvings, and the surprise and the joy and the smiles on their face was just infectious. So thank you, Gina, Kagi, for doing that, and thank you all for working on that.
Mayor?
Yes?
I understand that the largest TV station in Japan also was here in Felden.
Yes, I think they're going to, the counterpart, and I had their business card, but I couldn't pronounce their name. The PBS counterpart in Japan was going to do a half-hour special on carving pumpkins, and they went over when the YMCA was here one evening, and all the kids and adults with them were carving pumpkins, and they were with their camera focused upon them and such. So apparently carving pumpkins is major over there and growing in popularity. So we're expecting busloads of Japanese tourists next year. Yes.
Excuse me. All of that is 110% true. On top of that, 75% of the merchants on Easy Street applauded the festival. That's just one of the first times that whole group at 75% really. Two of them said their revenue doubled that week. I think 6 or 7 of them said that it went up. Every one of them, all the two of them said, for sure do it next year and the year after. It was a huge economic development. Is really hard to understand when we spend, what, $70,000 or $80,000 for this pumpkin deal, but it looks like the cash registers rang, and that's, in my opinion, is most important.
Thank you, Jim. I think it also put us on the map for a lot of people. People walking through the gardens, how good are the schools up here? And what kind of housing is available up here? There were those kinds of questions. Residents, I never knew this was down here. How long has this been here? You know.
Mayor, I agree. I think it just enriched our lifestyle experience just by being citizens here and saying this is in our community.
Yes.
And I think that you can translate that to an economic benefit because more and more people are going to want to live up here. But it was just a wonderful experience.
It was. It was truly great. And Mr. Neese mentioned this award. I was down there and on behalf of the town received it. This is the American Planning Association, the Arizona chapter. This was the top award, which was given out down there. And it was tremendous recognition, you know, they shine up on the screen, Phoenix and Tucson and Carefree, and it's actually kind of fun to see our name up on there, and that was good. So this was a major award. It will be on display over in the town hall. Anything else on a call to the public or current events?
Two great restaurants have recently opened.
Ah.
Bodega 13 and the Speakeasy, yes. And encourage everyone to go. Pleased that they're in our town, and they're just wonderful places to dine and be entertained.
Good. I think we have item number 10. Are there any town council updates? Can we talk the Liberty, Black Mountain Sewer, land use and planning, or the town center identification? One thing I would mention on the undergrounding of the utilities over on Cave Creek Road, someone ran into the pole. So there was apparently an automobile accident.
We're working diligently on the Gateway project, and it's been challenging finding where all the utilities are between APS and CenturyLink and Southwest Gas. So APS was finishing up their work, and then it got decimated.
Nice.
Is there an update? I noticed on the splash pad, because I noticed all the yellow tape was gone this morning.
It was only up there because they put the
ceiling,
painted sealer down. It's a couple day process, and they wanted everybody off for at least 3 or 4 days. In order for it to cure. It's now done, but it's too cold to be turning it on, although the LED lights are on now.
Oh, good.
Do they go on at night?
Yeah.
Okay. And the fireplaces are on at night?
Yeah, 6 to 11.
On an automatic
timer. Approximately, they're on time clocks, and no time clock is perfectly accurate.
So, Bob, bring back those kitchens, too.
I'll try to remember.
Anything else? Is there any? I'm looking at the agenda here. I think I have a line through everything. Is there a motion for adjournment?
Seconded.
Motion's been made and seconded. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Thank you all for coming.
See you tomorrow. Oh,
yeah. See you, buddy.
See you.
Take care.
Are
you
going to be
there tomorrow?
Okay,
man. This
guy? No. I'm collecting all these. Hey.
I got my.
Yes.